Welcome to the Skies We're Under podcast, hosted by me, Rachel Wright. This podcast is created by and for parents of people with disabilities and the many practitioners who support us. It's just for all of us who are trying to get from one end of the week to the other whilst bridging the gap between the life we expected and the one we're actually living. Hi, I'm Rachel, the founder and director of Born at the Right Time, an organisation that is focused on improving the lives of people with complex disabilities through supporting parent carers, delivering certified training to practitioners, and influencing policymakers and providers. I'm a qualified nurse, the mum of a young man who loves swimming, music, has complex disabilities, and an unusual addiction to the game show Pointless. I wrote the memoir, The Skies I'm Under, and I'm thrilled you've joined us for another episode of The Skies We're Under podcast. This week, I'm joined by Sarah Clayton. She's the CEO of Simple Stuff Works, Postural Care Geek, mum of four, and the parent of a remarkable young woman who is the survivor of a brain tumour and lives now with complex medical and learning disabilities. We're here to share the stories of fellow parents, get some useful information, and just connect with each other so we can feel a little less alone and a little more understood. Today, we're dreaming of planning alternative tomorrows with hope. And who doesn't need some hope? Hello and welcome to the Skies We're Under podcast. My name is Rachel Wright and I'm here with Sarah Clayton. Going to have a very chill little episode. How are you, Sarah?
I'm all right. I'm good.
One of these days, that's not going to be how you answer that, because I think if we went back...
Is that what I say every time? Say,
I'm all right in that tone as well. It's like, oh, I'm all right, like some grumpy 16-year-old. Just stop asking me. I'm all right.
I feel like I'm channeling my 1970s DJ. All right, pop pickers or whatever they used to say. No, I'm good. Every time I think, yeah, I'm all right. And then we talk for a bit and I think, actually,
oh, no,
life's really hard. Go on, anyway, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a bit stressed. That was a liar. So I've had a bit of a tricky couple of weeks. We're in half term this week and it's out of sync from lots of people.
Always joyful.
Always joyful. We do these podcasts before they go out because, you know, time and editing and all those things. So in the space of about a week, I managed to have 3 days where I met with the head teacher of my son's mainstream school because we were having some issues. I met the Senko at that school. And I'd been preparing for the last 6 months or so for my eldest son's annual review, really trying to focus on the transition out of school, which is happening in the next 18 months, and how we do that where he doesn't like just fall off the education cliff edge. And at 8 o'clock on the morning, got a phone call from the school saying, so we're going to have to cancel the annual review. And I was like, what? Because aside from all the reports and the number of people that we've got to be around the table, either physically or online, it was just, you know, my husband had the day off work to do it and Lucy had the day off work to do it and we were all ready to go. And they're like, well, I'm really sorry, but the chair is off sick. As in, it's not the chair. The person who was chairing the meeting is off sick. And so we can't really go ahead. And I was like, I'll chair it. And she's like, oh, okay, let me just check with the head.
I know all the stuff.
I know all the stuff. Yeah. I know what I want to get out of this meeting.
I'm the person best placed to do this. I'm bloody chairing everything else.
And so I did. I chaired the annual review and it was the first time they've had a parent to chair their annual review. And I do lots of stuff in round different tables, but I was more nervous doing that than most things.
Yeah.
And I realised, I actually said it I did some training yesterday down in Hampshire and I was like, I was way more nervous of chairing that meeting than this.
Yeah.
I said in a room of like nearly 100 people doing some training. I was like, because I was just more invested. And then I realised how bad that sounded.
Because I couldn't give a shit about this.
What's the worst that can happen here? You think I'm rubbish and don't employ me again. Like, hey, big deal.
Yeah,
whereas the potential...
The stakes are high.
They are. But it went all right. It went all right.
Good.
Always afterwards I'm thinking, didn't do that as well. Could have done that better. But that's just life and me. And then the other thing that happened this week, the night before said Hampshire training that I did at the beginning of this week, I had a really bad night. And you know me with my sleep. I like my sleep.
I do.
Yes.
Yep.
I like my sleep. Sleep is very important.
Can I just say, I don't think that we have ever let our wonderful listener know that you are the queen of the nana nap.
Oh, me.
You're just, I know. I am
a boss. An example, last week, my son's bus PA was off sick and I had to do the school drop-off and pick-up for him. And that's like a 45-minute each way round trip. And I got there about 10 minutes before he needed to be picked up, sat in the front of the car, slept before, head down, had a little nap before I got the ramp down and let him in the car. Yep. I can sleep anywhere. Absolutely anywhere. Close my eyes. The only thing that concerns me is the reason that I had such a bad night's sleep a couple of nights ago is because my teenage son, who was sharing the Premier Inn room with me, kept waking me up because I was snoring so
I snore so badly.
Oh,
do you snore? I snore. I wake myself up snoring regularly. But the first time I knew that I snored was when we were in hospital the first time round with Bea when she had her first surgery. Well, you're behind the magical curtains, the soundproof curtains.
The soundproof curtains. And they're going to hear you snoring and farting.
Yeah, farting, snoring, being given horrendous new news. Yeah. You know, all that stuff. It's okay, I'm closing the curtain.
So no one can tell.
She woke up and she said, "Mum, last night," bearing in mind, like 6 years old, she said, "Mum, last night I thought they brought a pig into the ward, but it was you." I was like, I can never sleep. I can never sleep in this place again. Just horrendous. Not only do I look like I've been dragged through a hedge, but it's like the worst camping ever, isn't it? As you appear at the ward toilet with your little toiletry bag
bad.
In a queue with the other parents who also are just thrilled to be on this particular
trip,
particular holiday. Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all right. It sounds particularly hard in your house. Don't you think that, you know, kind of when you have stuff that's going on with your other kids, like don't you think it's tricky? Because half the stuff that goes on with the other kids would be a big deal in other houses. But I sometimes do think that in our house, it's like, okay, carry on. You know, like sort of stuff, it almost gets brushed under the carpet that they're facing different things. I don't know whether that's like a parental superpower or whether it's just deeply, deeply damaging.
Yeah.
It's going to be one or the other.
Yeah, I fear the damage is there. Actually, I'm mentioning this training again, but at the training that I did in Hampshire, lots of people came up to my middle son and said, "I'm one of you." Like there was lots of people in the room who were connected to somebody. And that's why they were doing the jobs that they were doing, because they had lived experience in one form or another.
Yeah.
And it led to some really deep conversations on the car journey home. Car journeys are good for that, aren't they? Shoulder to shoulder journeys.
Mm-hmm. Do not look at me.
Do not look at me.
Yeah.
Do not touch me.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you my deepest, darkest fears. And it's really tricky, isn't it? Well, we can't protect our children and young people. And like you say, you know, I go into a conversation with a Senko and a head teacher in a mainstream with all the baggage and guarding and context of my eldest son that they don't necessarily know about.
No, they've got no idea. Yeah, yeah.
So there's layers and layers of that that's to them is quite hidden. And it's really important to sort of validate that. I recognize that some of the issues that we're facing, I think, was a level of trauma. And just talking about my kids experiencing trauma, it's really tricky not to feel like there's a level of blame, like, because I didn't protect enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think COVID really had an impact. I think our anxiety around protecting our eldest son, as much as we tried to keep chill and light about it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember in my middle son, I remember this transition around about the age of 8, where both my boys went through this realization of the impact their older brother had on their life. Like up until that point, it was normal.
Normal.
And then after that point...
Doesn't everybody have a brother like this?
Everyone's got a brother like this. That's all typical. I did ask my middle son if he'd come on the podcast. So maybe.
Maybe.
I was going to say, I'd have to anonymize him, but that can't really do that now.
We could do a sibling episode and we could get my number two son, not like second favourite son, but like in the whole birth order, number two. He's probably my favourite, but the chances of my other kids listening to this are so slim that it's like...
I'm telling on you.
They never need to know. But I'm sure they feel it. Yeah, we could get, because he's a bit older. So he's 20. So he may well give us a little bit of an insight that's a little bit further along. But yeah. But you know what? Talking of trauma, we have a new guy at the gym.
Oh.
Yeah. And his name, I have decided, is Mike the Mouse. Because.
Are you saying this in his face? Right,
Mike the... No. I don't know what his name is. I don't know what his real name is. But he's... To me, he is Mike the Mouse. Honestly, he just wears running tights. You know the... Do you know the tights?
Really?
Yes. So I now have a new challenge at the gym. But not only do I have to not wet myself with every new thing that I've got to do, I also have to avoid being in his sight line because I just... I'm honestly considering buying a pair of shorts and giving him a pair, or getting everybody to club in and get the man a pair of shorts. But it's like, I don't know whether it's sinister or not. Do you imagine that position where you just think, I don't know if this is this just a desperate lack of self-awareness, or
are you deliberately doing that lunge in my face?
But I'm going to let you know next
week.
I'll let you know how it pans out.
By it, you mean his crotch.
The mouse.
Born at the Right Time's vision is to create a world where families of people with complex disabilities are valued and supported. We put the lived experience of families at the heart of our work to support parent carers, deliver CPD certified training to practitioners, and influence policy makers and providers. So whether it's to feel connected to fellow parents or find out how we can support your organisation to work with families better, contact us through our website, bornatherighttime.com today. Okay, mice aside, this is a more sensible bit, Mrs. Clayton.
Okay.
So one of the things that came up in my youngest son's emerging neurodivergent diagnosis, potentially, is that we need to put things in place and work out what works for him. And one of the things that the educational psychologist suggested was doing a PATH. That alongside chairing my son's annual review, my eldest son's annual review, I was thinking about all the different ways that we have experienced good and bad collaborative working. And sometimes we just don't know what good looks like. And how can we try and model it and communicate it and expect it unless we have been part of it or seen it or heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you have done PATHs with B. And I would love you to describe what a PATH is and tell us about it so that we can start thinking about whether it applies to us.
Yeah. So I think those, a PATH alongside a one-page profile, are two of the things that I think are absolutely fabulous to do. So sticking to PATHs, first of all.
What does it stand for?
It stands for Planning Alternative Tomorrows with Hope. And it's a person-centered planning tool. And if you just Google PATH and person-centered planning tool, you'll find lots and lots of different places. I think they originated, I think it was John O'Brien over in the States that started this whole thing. At its simplest form, it's just about taking the time to sit down and work out what your plan is. Like, what is it that you hope to happen in the future? And then working backwards. So the first part of a PATH is where you think about your North Star, And it's done with graphic facilitation, which just means a posh drawing. So
I bet that can't be me. Does men and...
Yeah, stick men. Okay. Stick men are good.
As long as someone can...
And if you can draw a star, mm-hmm. and if you can draw things that look like a book, maybe, I don't know. We'll stick in the resources a copy of Bee's Path.
Yeah.
With her beautiful smiling face, because she was so, so chuffed with it. So you start with, first of all, you need to get everybody together. But before you even do that, you need to ask yourself some questions and ask the people that are coming to the PATH meeting some questions. So I wrote down the different questions that we asked last time that we did one. The questions were, so it was a great big sheet of paper. And as people WhatsApped me and sent me text messages and things like that, I just wrote them onto these different pieces of paper. So in the middle of one, it said, Bee's best life. The next one said, if I could, I would. And that was, I asked Bee, I'm really lucky in that I can ask her and she can, you know, she can tell us, you know, what she wants to do. So if I could, I would. Another one was, in 3 years' time, Bee will. And then we had what we love and appreciate about Bee, which was a fabulous one. She loved that. And then what matters to Bee. And it was really interesting getting it from all sorts of different people's perspectives, because I might come at it with the parent perspective, but what was fantastic was getting different people's perspective. So I might think I know what's important to her, but actually when you talk to a sibling, a friend, then they think of different things. So there needs to be a certain amount of work done beforehand just to get everybody, just to start thinking things through. Then we got everyone together. So for her last one, so I've had two experiences. The first one was with our Ed Psych when she was in primary school. And we were having a really, really tricky time with her just refusing to go to school. And she was experiencing some horrible stuff. And, you know, it was really difficult. And there was a real power imbalance between her and just life in general. She was at her absolute lowest, you know. So the Ed Psych at the time really worked hard to use the PATH, not just as a future planning tool, but a way of giving Bee some control back. So Bee chose when the meeting was going to be. Mm-hmm. She chose who was invited to the meeting. She designed the invites. It was held at our house where she felt safest. Mm-hmm. And as people came in, our Ed Psych made them take their shoes off. my house isn't particularly clean.
Little things make a big difference.
A little power. It's just a little bit like, you know, just this isn't a place of work. Mm-hmm. So the first part of the PATH is thinking about your North Star. Where do you want to be? Like, what would
good look like?
What would the best life look like? Like the very best, not just good, but like the big, big dreams. Mm-hmm. And then you think about where you are now, and you think about how you bridge the gap between where you are now and the big, big dreams. And the thing is that the big dreams, we're talking about, you know, her dreams are around living in her own place, having a job, having friends, maybe a boyfriend, all of those sorts of things. And when you start putting them down on paper, they're not big dreams, really. They're just ordinary dreams. But they feel big when you're in a place, you know, they feel so, so far away. And then what you do is you work out how you're going to get from where you are now to where you want to be. And there's different stages of that. So you work through, you know, what are you going to do next week? Where will you be in 3 months' time, a year's time? You know, and it's all about what's positive and possible.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a wonderful friend, OTs, occupational therapists. If you can find yourself a fabulous occupational therapist, they are amazing at the whole problem solving mm-hmm. thing mm-hmm. and thinking in a really person-centered way. So I had a really good friend who's a woman called Sarah Hill, who's a really experienced OT. And so she helped with a lot of the preparation stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we had a graphic facilitator who is somebody really experienced in translating people's conversations into pictures, which is just brilliant. It really involved Bee because she could afterwards... She coloured stuff in, you know, she really made it her PATH. But you don't need a graphic facilitator. You can download templates. If you just look for Planning Alternative Tomorrows with Hope template, and you can get a template and you can get the instructions as to how to use it. And I think what I'd say is that obviously it's easier if you've got somebody who's done it before, knows what they're doing, and is enthusiastic about the process and wants you to get a lot out of it. But at the same time, it is just a way of structuring a conversation about the person that you love, you know, and involving the person that you love. So we can do that, you know, parents can do that without it being like, you just give it a go. Like, you can't get it wrong. Yeah,
give it a go.
You know, you can't get it wrong. Give it a go.
Do you know what it's making me think?
Mm.
The power
that you need to learn to draw.
Yeah. Beyond the stick woman. The power of doing that in my own life.
Yes. I know people who have paths for bloody everything. They've got a path for their holidays. They've got a path for their home and their financial situation and when they want to be paying their mortgage off and stuff. It's just about, it's like one step up from asking the universe.
Because it's so easy. It's like previous weeks we've talked about you and your ironing, and we've talked about, you know, a need washing everything you can get your hand on so that you can iron it when it's ironing mm-hmm. day, and the need to kind of take control. And it sounds like it's one of those ways that we could potentially just shine some light on the stuff that we can actually do when so much stuff we can't do, when we can't change whether there's going to be another seizure, when we can't change whether the local authority will pay for that fund, that short mm-hmm. breaks, when we can't change mm-hmm. that, and that, we can say, okay, what does good look like? What does hope in tomorrow look like? And what are the things that I can control and do and influence that starts taking those steps? That sounds really powerful to me.
It's so powerful because, you know, when you're in that situation, you have very little control and you just don't know where to start. You are just like, this is such a mountain. And I don't want to say that every journey begins with a single step, Rachel.
Then don't.
But I'm going to goddamn say it. No, but you can look and you can think to yourself, because one of the things, the other thing that you can do within a path is you can think about, who do I need to have as an ally? Who do I need on side? And alongside it, if you wanted to get really kind of person-centered and really kind of granular in the detail, you can think about the good fairies and the goblins. Think about, here are my, well, the good fairies and the goblins, you've got this journey that you are going to go on that starts with a single step. And along the way, you are going to meet some good fairies and you're going to meet the goblins. Mm. And you probably know who they are already. You might not know exactly who they are, but you might know their job title.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start to think about, who are going to be the potential allies that I need on side?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the potential barriers that will stop us from making mm-hmm. our way from here to there? And what can I do to foster relationships? What can I do in order for people, their first encounter with me is not the complaint that I'm going to put in, but it is an introductory. This is, we tried when we did the path the second time, it was the very, very beginning of EHCP Gate.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, get everybody together, everyone that's involved. Mm-hmm. There were 16 people in the room, physically in the room doing the path with us. And I honestly thought, well, partly it gave me a roadmap for when it got really foggy a bit later on. And I would keep coming back to it and thinking, when people said, well, what about if we did this? I would come back to the path and think,
that doesn't align.
Does that fit?
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit. So if it doesn't fit, the answer's a hard no.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to look at such and such a college that isn't a residential placement, but they've got a shiny thing. So it gives you like something to hold on to when it's all a bit of a nightmare. But I genuinely think it's about intention, and it's about thinking, right, if I want to get to there in 3 months' time, by the end of this week, I need to have emailed this person and this person. I need to have phoned that person. I need to have researched X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
So it maps stuff out for you. And it makes it just feel a bit more doable. I bloody
love them. Well, one of your favourite things, it gives you a to-do list.
It does give me a to-do list.
And it gives you a to-do list that you can choose to do or not to do.
Mm-hmm. It does.
A to-do or not to-do list. Thank you, Mrs. Clayton.
That is my pleasure.
We'll put all the links and stuff in the show notes for people to explore at their leisure if this is something they want to look at some more. And this is the part of the podcast where we get to listen to somebody who is a listener of the podcast. So we have a Spike peep.
Can they be Spike peeps from now on?
Oh, okay. The Spike peep.
Let's do it.
Oh, dear. Them. All right. Here's a Spike peep from Caroline.
Hi there, my name's Caroline. I'm quite new to your podcast, but I'm so glad I found them. I am slowly catching up with all of them around everything else. I just wanted to say that I'm actually in the middle of interviewing PAs, which is quite incredible. I've shared various job roles everywhere on social media, but actually I've gone on Indeed this last week and got quite a few good ones that have come forward. So it was just to sort of mention Indeed for a source for recruitment and that the success that I've managed to get. So I'm really pleased with it. I'll just sort of share some positivity out there. And just to say, well done to everybody. Keep working hard. And we're all in it together. But yeah, I'm just really pleased. I just wanted to big up Indeed. And I found it really easy to use for administering like interviews and getting back to people, that sort of thing. So I found it really easy, and I'm not particularly a technophobe, but you know, I find it challenging like everyone else. But it's a really good way to collect their data and arrange interviews and to write notes on people. So just thought I'd share that with you. Thank you. Bye.
So there you go. That's Caroline saying about Indeed. That's really interesting because we've done the whole social media stuff with varying levels of success, and the care team around my son is getting bigger and bigger because of this whole transition out of school. I think I might go on Indeed.
Yeah. Well, we use Indeed for work. Mm. It's great. Reed is another one in the interests of impartiality. but the other thing as well is to think about, you know, kind of places if your young person like is a massive fan of the gym, like putting a poster up in a gym, you know, if your person is a big fan of, you know what I mean, like kind of trying to find people.
Yeah,
I think the social media thing as well. Yeah, I think the social media thing as well, we all know that it's a little bit of an echo chamber.
Yes,
so
the same people see the same things.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a bit of diversity, you're looking for something outside of yep. the usual group of people that you talk yep. to, and you yeah definitely. And you can do like it's all free, you know, there's quite a lot of free job advert, you know, kind of when you first sign up to those sorts of sites.
Okay. You get stuff for free to begin with.
Then you get stuff for free. Like if you're doing it regularly, it may be that you have to pay, but have a look. Definitely a good idea.
Fantastic. So there you go. We've discovered Sarah and I both have atrocious snoring habits. We've discovered that the complexity of our family is big, not just around our child with the most complex needs. But in doing that, we can also plan alternative tomorrows with hope. Oh, just that, those words. That's so exciting. Thank you, Sarah, for your wisdom and your time today.
Oh, that's not said very often, is it? We say that. My wisdom. That's okay. Going to see me for the rest of the day.
Thanks for your time today.
My pleasure. Bye. See you later.
Bye. Skies Are Under podcast is a Ball at the Right Time production with thanks to audio engineer Tom Whitehead, to our guests for sharing their stories, expertise and very precious time. A special thanks goes to the extravagant sponsors of the podcast. We'd love it if you could review, rate and share the podcast with fellow parents and practitioners. You can also join in the conversation by sending in your stories, comments, questions and reasons to celebrate to tswupodcast@gmail.com. Or follow us on Instagram at Born at Right Time. We love you joining us for the ride as we hurtle along this off-piste version of parenting. It's so much better when we do it together. Whatever skies we're under.